Turning in the scriptures this morning, we've got two scripture readings from the New Testament. Our first reading is from 2 Timothy and chapter 4. 2 Timothy and chapter 4. Let us hear the word of God. Paul writes, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And then we're turning to Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5, and beginning to read from verse 1. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 1. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldst ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honour unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labours be in the house of a stranger, and thy mourn at last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. We'll leave the reading there. Well, this morning we're continuing our series in pondering Proverbs, and we're in chapter 5. And this, friends, is a very important chapter, and I'll hopefully be able to show you in a few minutes why. We turn to the Word of God, and we seek wisdom, we seek guidance, we seek direction. And the Scriptures are very clear. There are principles laid down in the Holy Scriptures that we must follow if we are His people. If we are those who are true believers, who have trusted in Christ as our Saviour, then we will want to do what pleases the Lord. I know that's not easy, and sometimes it can be very difficult, especially for younger friends amongst us, but that's what the Lord calls us to. However, and we need to be aware of this, that though we have this desire to follow the truth and to walk in the right paths and to keep close to the Lord, there is an enemy at work who seeks to distract, dissuade, and even divert. And he uses other people to redirect our paths. Now, this passage at first reading may seem to be about having an illicit relationship. Or if you like, in scriptural terms, the whole point here, and some writers will take this point and direction, that this is about breaking the seventh commandment. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And that may be a way that we could approach this text. However, this subject is dealt more fully, more completely, and more comprehensively in chapter 7. So perhaps we could ask ourselves a question. What does Solomon mean here in verse 3? The lips of a strange woman drop as honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. What is he speaking about? If he's not speaking about adultery, if he's not speaking about unfaithful to our wives or being involved with in a relationship that doesn't please the Lord, then what is he speaking about? It's possible that Solomon here is taking up the same theme from chapter 4, which would make sense, of course. And there we are dealing with the way we should live and how we should keep our hearts, and that we should keep our mouths, and we should look straight on, and that we should keep our feet walking in the ways of the Lord. We looked at that last time, didn't we? We looked at those three things: the words, the hands, and the feet. And so it is with the Christian. We could look at it from a different perspective. And perhaps you might be surprised at this, because this phrase, strange woman, is used in Psalm 31, verse 2, and in the first two verses of this passage are dealing with listening, paying attention. Bowing down your ear could be translated as bending your ear to the understanding, to God's understanding. Remember that Solomon is teaching his young son, we take it, maybe even his children, these important truths. But behind it, God is teaching his people some very important truths. I'll come back to the strange woman in a moment, because I really want us to realize that these kind of phrases that Solomon uses in verses 1 and 2 are similar to Psalm 31 verse 2, Proverbs 2 verse 2, we looked at it a little while ago, Proverbs 4:20 and so forth. What does Proverbs 4:20 say? My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Why? It's a good question. He gives us the reason. Verse 2, why should we attend to God's wisdom? Isn't there other people that are much wiser? Aren't there other influencers that can help us? That's the current language. If you don't understand that language, I wouldn't be apologetic about it. But that's the language of our culture. Why should we listen to God's word? What's the whole point of it? Why should we read the Bible? Better question, why should we read the Bible in church? Why should we have the Bible in front of us? Surely everyone's wisdom is the same. And all the wisdom of the world is really in comparison. You can see similarities, because it's God's wisdom. It's holy wisdom. It's divine wisdom. It's unique wisdom. It's transforming wisdom. There's no wisdom like this book. And some of us who love reading, and we are always found with a book in our hands, or we're listening to one in our ears, we read lots of books and we listen to lots of information, but there's nothing compared to the scriptures. I sincerely mean that. Some of us have studied philosophy. Some of us have studied theosophy. If you don't know what that is, that's okay. Some of us have studied some great high-powered thinking about nuclear physics and so forth. But the Word of God, there's nothing to compare to it. And so, this is what Solomon says, that thou mayest regard discretion. What's that word mean? Reflect. In the Hebrew language, maintain thoughtfulness, observe, set a proper guard or control over your thoughts. Keep knowledge. What does that mean? Well, in Psalm 17, verse 3, Solomon's father puts it like this: David, I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Keep the knowledge close to you. That's why we have open Bibles. That's why we all have a copy of the Word of God. That's why we ought to read it every day. What did we read this morning? What did you read this morning? I trust you have had time to read the Bible. I know there's lots of things can happen. If you haven't had time to read your Bible, don't let the afternoon pass without reading it. It's so important. Why is this? Because, as I hinted, this text, this passage, and we'll only break into this chapter this morning, may be dealing actually with something that's much more pervasive than we might realize. False teaching. If we're not familiar with the scriptures, or if we're not keeping ourselves familiar with the scriptures, false teachers creep in. Let's look first of all at the attraction of false teaching. Verse 3. The lips of a strange woman. Who is this strange woman? What is she like? Well, the same phrase is used in chapter 2 and verse 16. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger, which flattereth with her lips. It's found again in verse 20 of this chapter. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, embrace the bosom of a stranger? Proverbs 7, verse 5. That they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger it flattereth with her words, and so forth. It is used to describe a woman of ill repute, a prostitute, in Proverbs 23, verse 27. And it's also used to describe an adulteress in chapter 7. But here, the older writers take it that this is a picture of false teaching. And why is that significant? Because notice the focus that the Holy Spirit wants us to think about here. We're not looking at the outer beauty of the strange woman. It's very important. We're not looking at her looks. Solomon doesn't describe her physical attractiveness. He starts with her lips. He starts with her speech. He starts with her words. And that's why I go along with the old writers in saying that this is a picture of false teaching and false doctrine, or half-truths. The lips of a strange woman. Well, if we focus on her lips, the word here in the Hebrew is to do with the lips, but it could actually be to do with the words, with that which comes out of our lips, which that comes out of our mouths. But notice how the Apostle Paul speaks about these false teachers in 1 Timothy. They shall teach things that provide for the itching ears. In some ways, they always have something novel, some new revelation, or some new insight, or some new perspective. But as the old writers put it, and I think Spurgeon puts it like this, anything that's new isn't always true. False teachers. In the time of Solomon, there were false prophets. In the history of Israel, there were false prophets who were much more numerous than God's prophets. How did you know the difference? What the false prophet said didn't come true. What God's prophet said usually had a thus saith the Lord. But look at the lips here. These lips. There are two things we notice. They drop as honeycomb. They are sweet as honeycomb. Now you have to have in your mind, perhaps you've seen this, I've never seen this in the wild, but perhaps you've seen this in past times you heard of a large hive that was in a big tall tree. And everybody in the village knew about this hive. And you wanted to go and get some of the sweet honey. And by the way, sweet honey from the honeycomb is the best of all. And as you walk up, you see the honey dripping out of the honeycomb. And you're attracted to it. Of course you are. It's the sweetest of the sweet. The bees are buzzing around. They're totally unaware of you. But you want that honey. And you're willing to risk to get it. And you don't think that you should wear protective clothing. Well, if you do that, that's not the wisest thing to do. And so it is with false teaching. It's sweet. At least it seems to be so. It seems to just drip. It seems to just sink into the mind. There doesn't seem to be any wrestling with it. There doesn't seem to be any difficulty with it. It just slips in. You've got false teachers to tell you that your best life is now. That's quite an indictment if you think about it. You've got false teachers that promise you the earth. Health, wealth, and prosperity. You've got false teachers that pretend that they've found some new insight into the person of Christ. And it seems sweet. That's the whole point. But it's bittersweet. It leads out of the truth and into half-truth. Not only is it sweet, but it's smooth. Look at what Solomon says. Her mouth is smoother than oil. It's slippery. It doesn't take much to swallow it down. It's so easy. We live in the days of image. An image, by the way, bypasses the conscience and imprints itself on the mind. Those of us who have seen images in our unconverted days sometimes are still haunted by these images. But in our day and age, false teachers are so slick and their teaching is so slippery that it doesn't seem to be any different to what we've been used to. And yet it is. And yet it is. Because you watch the path that the false teacher will bring you. And you study his life or her life, usually it's women as well now, claiming that they have some deep understanding of God, or worse, that they have a special connection with God. And woe betide anyone that questions their authority. Some of us have been caught up in this. That's why we're here this morning. Some of us were so caught up with these false teachers that we didn't realize we were on a very, very dangerous path. In the marginal note, the same word slippery, smoother than oil, can bring up the thought of a treacherous friend. They seem to be friends. They seem to be friends of God, and they want to be your friend. They're not going to teach you hard things. They're not going to deal with deep things. They're going to be superficial. And you can be superficial with them. And sadly, I've been told this by an American pastor. The American evangelical scene, is a centimetre, well, they would say an inch, a mile wide and an inch deep. Now, there are some good teachers. I'm not saying all American preachers are bad, false teachers. That's not what I'm saying. But the pressure from the United States and other larger countries to push this agenda, and they've got money and influence and power, and they want to lead us astray. But it's very clever. They don't, as it were, nail all their colours to the mast. That's an old naval term. They don't lay all their cards on the table. That's a gambling term. They don't say what they are until you're involved. The picture I had during the week was this. It's a spider's web. And when the little fly comes along, he innocently thinks that just this lovely shiny thing in the early morning, I can avoid it. But as soon as he touches that web, he's glued to it. And unless he's strong enough, he can't get away. And eventually the spider will come and get you. And that's what it's like. I'm sure the children have seen a spider web. Have you seen how the spider waits till the web is tugged by the little fly caught, and then the spider comes out? You see, this is false teaching. This is the nature of false teachers. But as I said, this is the attraction of false teaching. It's attractive. It's alluring. It's enticing. And that's why I would say that the second part I want to look at is the path. And I'm just going to walk step by step. I'm not going to go into detail, but I do want you to notice where Solomon begins. And he doesn't begin at the beginning. He begins at the end. And that might sound confusing. He doesn't begin with the soft words, or as the New Testament writer spoke about, peddling the gospel and sowing a false gospel. The Apostle Paul had to contend with a false gospel and a full of half-truths. He said in Galatians chapter 1, "Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel," because Paul knew what the end of the false gospel was. And Solomon starts with the end. Verse 4, "Her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword." So what we're going to do is go from the end back to the beginning. Only God's word could do something like this. There's no other book in the world that would do something like this. Start at the end and come back to the beginning when it's dealing with false teachers. "Her end is as bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. She promises enjoyment, pleasure, freedom from danger, an easy gospel, a soft conversion that lacks conviction of sin, repentance from sin, conviction of sin." But the end is bitter. The end is tragic. The word here, wormwood, is another word that's used elsewhere to describe, the word is gall. It was a poisoned herb. It was used in Deuteronomy 29, verse 18, when the Lord speaks about serving the gods of the nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. It's also used in Psalm 149, verse 6. Wormwood is bitter. The end of false teaching is deadly. Both in the Hebrew mind and in the Greek mind, this word wormwood conjured up the thought of a deadly plant, like deadly nightshade. So it is. This is the path of the false teaching. It will bring us into deadly nightshade of theology. It will poison us and lead us to destruction. It's also sharp as a two-edged sword. It's very interesting how he uses this word. It's sharp, not blunt. It pierces through maybe our resistance. And it's a two-edged sword. Now, in Paul's mind, in the book of Hebrews, he speaks about the word of God being a double-edged sword. That's a blessed thing. But here, false teaching is two-edged. Perhaps it's smooth on one side and sharp on the other. Where does our feet lead to? They go down to hell. Perhaps you might like to say the afterlife. Some of the other commentators would say to judgment, eternal judgment. Her feet, verse 5, go down to death. Death spiritually and eternal death. And her steps take hold on hell. False teachers don't realize where their false teaching is leading. In verse 6, lest thou shouldst ponder the path of life, her ways are movable. They're changeable. They're adapting. They're very adaptable. Because there's nothing solid underneath, they can move the goalposts or move the foundations. And it's always shifting like shifting sand. And some of us who are caught up with false teaching, perhaps in our young Christian lives, we didn't know any better. We didn't realize the end we were brought to, but how blessed we are that the Holy Spirit showed us. There is a true way. Her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Well, first of all, we've seen the attraction of false teachers. Secondly, we've seen the path of false teaching. And as I said, it goes from the end to the beginning. And lastly, the advice against false teachers. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Easier said than done, isn't it? These false teachers seem to be so convincing. Their teaching seems to be much easier to follow. They don't make the Christian path difficult. They make the faith life easy. Hear me now, therefore. But Solomon says, the Holy Spirit instructs us. In the New Testament, the same. Depart not from the words of my mouth. Can you hear the words of Christ coming back to us? Can you hear the words of Christ warning his disciples that there would be a time come when they will be treated with such hatred and despise, and yet false teachers will rise up. Wolves in sheep's clothing. What a picture that is. A wolf, camouflaged as a sheep, seems so gentle and so loyal and so faithful to God, and yet inside it's a ravenous wolf. This is the day we're living in. Older generations were influenced by books. The modern generation is influenced by videos and shorts. And if you know what a short is, and it's nothing to do with clothing, you'll know what I'm talking about. So what's the answer? Solomon tells you, verse 8, remove thy way far from her. What a picture. Don't dilly-dally. I can hear my grandma saying that to me. Especially if I'm in danger. Some of you know I love that art of angling. Yes, I know. Some people aren't pleased with it, but that's okay. But I'd be down at the stream. Probably I was only about 3 or 4. And I'd be too near the edge of the water. My granny would shout, don't dilly-dally. Don't hang around. Remove thy way. Step back. Perhaps some of us, even at this moment, are being influenced by false teaching and we didn't even realize it. Perhaps some of our friends are listening to false teachers, and I don't need to name them names. You can talk to me afterwards. And you're worried about them, and isn't that a wonderful thing? You're concerned about them. So what do you want them to do? You want them to remove their way. You want them to step back. Perhaps even just take a time off for a few days or even a week and think about what they're listening to. Often that's the opportunity the Holy Spirit has to get them back onto the ways of righteousness and truth. Remove thy way from her and come not nigh the door of her house. Step away from her and don't even creep up to the door. When you creep up to the door, you're going to listen, aren't you? Perhaps you're going to listen for what's ever going on the other side of the door. It's very practical and yet it's very pictorial, isn't it? Step away and don't go back to the door. But why? Lest thou give thine honour unto others. This isn't speaking of reputation. Speaking of honour, praise, appreciation. It's so important. Perhaps this is for somebody who at this moment is wrapped up in false teaching. You're concerned for them. And perhaps you won't go to Proverbs to try and instruct them, because that might be a bit more difficult. But you can bring them to the New Testament. Perhaps you can pass through the Gospels and show how Christ, in his infinite wisdom, warns his disciples that false teachers will arise, that false Christs will come, that false preachers will rise up, but we're not to listen to them. Or you can go to a passage we read earlier, 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, at his appearing in his kingdom. You see how the apostle is thinking. He's thinking, there's a time coming, and perhaps even he was very familiar with the false teaching, the Galatian heresy, the Gnosticism of the New Testament church, which of course John the Apostle is dealing with in his epistles. And what's Paul's response to a pastor, to Timothy, to the elders, to those who are preachers? He says, preach the word. That's what we need today. Preachers. Preachers that are not afraid to speak the truth. Yes, in love, but they're not afraid to speak the truth. Men who are absolutely convinced of the inerrancy, the inspiration, and the sufficiency of Scripture. Otherwise, you won't preach. If you believe that the Bible is not sufficient for all matters of faith and doctrine, then you won't preach the truth. Men who are not afraid to preach the Word of God when it's acceptable and when it's unacceptable, when it's convenient and it's inconvenient, when it goes against social agendas. Men who are fearless. Not ferocious, but fearless. Fearless because in their mind and in their heart, they're absolutely convinced that we will have to give an answer to Christ when he comes. Men who will be willing to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. What does that mean? Well, the first word is reprove. That means to gently correct. Rebuke is a bit more severe. You're on the wrong path. Please come over to the right one. Exhort. To emphasize the scriptures, the word of God. With all longsuffering, with patience, yes, but with longsuffering. And doctrine. You see, false teachers won't teach you true doctrine. They might mention it. They won't mention the word doctrine, by the way, because doctrine is divisive in their view. But why, Paul? Verse 3. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Look around you. Look at your social media feed. How many false teachers have such influence, such power? It seems like an infinite amount of financial backing. And they're not only in the West. They're taking over the East. They're taking over Africa. But what are these false teachers like in Paul's mind? Well, he goes on, he says, the people will not endure sound doctrine because they want something else. They don't want the doctrines of grace or the graces of the doctrines. They want nice, easy believism. Nice, sentimental truths that make them feel good. The apostle used this word there, heap them after their own lusts, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And there, sadly, there are false teachers today who once upon a time spoke half-truths and now they speak fables. And what's the church to do? Pray, preach, and bear witness. Because the antidote is the same. Old Testament, New Testament. So many deceived souls. So many people who follow false teachers. What's the answer? The gospel truth. The truth of the gospel. The word of God in all its fullness, in all its clarity, in all its vibrancy, in all its colour. Men and women are forlorn in their condition, but when the gospel of Christ is proclaimed, the Holy Spirit takes those truths and plants life into the soul. And those who have been led for perhaps years by false teachers, the Spirit of truth comes and he leads them into all truth. Perhaps that's a role that some of us have here. To help some dear person, close to us perhaps, to help them to see that they can know the true God and Jesus Christ whom God sent. That's where the gospel comes in. Share the gospel with them. Is the gospel the power of God unto salvation? Yes, it is. Is the gospel of God the power unto salvation for the Jew first and also for the Greek? Yes, it is. I'm sure we're not ashamed of the gospel. The Apostle Paul wasn't. So what we are to do is to preach the gospel, to tell people the truth, to tell them the truth in love, but to tell them the truth. Tell them about the true Jesus Christ. That he is truly fully man and truly fully God. Tell him about his life and his death and his burial and his resurrection. Tell them about his second coming. but also tell them from your own experience of how he shepherded you and cared for you and nurtured you and taught you and instructed you and at times led you back. Sometimes that's the most powerful testimony. We don't know it all. We can't know it all. But the Lord in his grace. Sometimes some of us could say that we were drifting away from the truth. We didn't realize it at the time, but we were like a little boat that had just been released from its moorings in the harbor, and we were just gently floating away. The Lord brought us back. And the truth of the gospel, the Lord Jesus says in John 8 and verse 32, that when the Son of Man hath made you free, you're free indeed. When the Holy Spirit comes upon a soul and brings conversion to the heart, that person knows the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. And what does he do? He leads us into all truth. You see, false teaching wasn't just for a time of Solomon, nor just for the time of the Apostle Paul. But sadly, it's still with us. And the antidote is very simple. Preach the truth. Let people know about the true Christ, and let the Holy Spirit do the rest. So that when it comes to it, when Christ returns, we will have been faithful in our calling, and the Lord will have got all the praise. Let us pray. Gracious God and loving Father, we're thankful for these thoughts this morning, for these truths this morning. Bless us, O Lord, in our thoughts, in our souls, in our minds. O Lord, did our Saviour not say, when he, the Spirit of truth, hath come, he shall lead us into all truth. Oh, what a truth that is. What a reality that is. How blessed we are to have the truth, to have the true word of God, to have a faithful translation of the scriptures, to be able to read the Bible in our own language, but also to have the Holy Spirit to be our teacher and instructor, to have the Holy Spirit teach us more about Christ, to lead us into the deeper things of God. Oh, Lord, bless us here this morning. Be with everyone here. Help us, Lord, to radiate this wonderful truth that God was in Christ, reconciling us unto himself. Oh, Lord, we pray, be with us and hear us and bless us. For Jesus' sake, amen.